Dear beloved of God, grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. There's a psychological phenomenon that you have likely experienced, but for which you didn't know there was a fun, fancy name. The classic example of said phenomenon occurs when you are contemplating buying a car. So you start doing research for this particular type of car, and then all of a sudden you start to notice that they're everywhere. It's like there are suddenly thousands of PT Cruisers in the Southwest Metro. Pastor Dixon gave me that one. You can't go anywhere without seeing that beautiful PT Cruiser, cherry red with the wood grain on the side, hypothetically speaking. Have you ever experienced this? I mean, not with a PT Cruiser, obviously, but you know what I mean. You start thinking about something, and then all of a sudden, you see it everywhere. It's called the Bader-Meinhof phenomenon, or without the fancy German words, frequency illusion. It's basically a frequency bias. You start to notice something new, at least new to you. It could be a word or a breed of a dog, a particular style of house, really just about anything. And then suddenly you're aware of that thing all over the place. Now, I'll admit that I did very poorly in my intro to psychology class in college. It was the class in college that taught me that turns out you need to study when you get to college. But my D plus in Psych 121 notwithstanding, I do find psychology and how our brains work to be fascinating. Take today's resurrection story from the Gospel of Luke. There's this intriguing moment that happens pretty early in the reading where you have these two people who are walking along a road heading to the town of Emmaus from Jerusalem. And then Jesus comes and walks alongside them. And then verse 16 reads, their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Now, as I said in this week's Gospel Unplugged video that airs on our social media outlets and is sent to you in the Wednesday email from the church, I have long assumed that something supernatural was preventing these two disciples from recognizing Jesus. Like, how could two of his disciples not know that it was Jesus? I mean, he's right there in the midst of them. There has to be some sort of divine sleight of hand, right? But this week, I've kind of changed my mind. Like, how could they possibly recognize that it was Jesus? Because he died. And they saw it. They saw the agony and the torture that he endured. They saw that Jesus' body had been taken down from the cross. They knew that it had been laid in a tomb and the stone had been rolled away. They knew it was over. And they know how life in this world works. They know that dead people stay dead. So Jesus has to be the last person in the world that they expected to meet on this road. Now, sure, they'd heard the testimony of the women from earlier in the morning, but in many ways, that just created more questions than answers. Wait, his body wasn't there? There were two people in white? They said he'd been raised? What does that mean? It's just not possible. These two disciples, their brains wouldn't let them comprehend. Their eyes wouldn't let them see that it really was Jesus right there in front of them. But Jesus hangs around. He walks with them and he talks with them. He explains everything that's happened. He reminds them of all of the ways that the scriptures and the prophets and his very own life and ministry had been preparing them for this moment. And yet they still can't see him. It requires them spending more time with him. It's not until they share a meal together that all of a sudden it snaps into focus. And then they can't unsee it. It's Jesus. He's alive. How did we not see it, know it, feel it? Weren't our hearts burning? And so these two hoof it back to Jerusalem to find the other disciples who share they've had their own encounter with Jesus. And all of a sudden, resurrection and life seem to be on the loose in the places and the spaces where once they could only see death. But this is much more than the Bader-Meinhof phenomena. These disciples, you and me, are being drawn into the never-ending love of our God. It's a love that refuses to be stopped. It's a love that's stronger than even death. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, we are given a place, a share in God's life forever. And that changes how we see this world. We start to see it as being worthy of love. We start to see our communities and our neighborhoods as places of incredible and enormous potential. We can live as people who are guided by hope and light and love, not consumed by death and darkness and despair. Now, I don't pretend like any of this is easy. Resurrection and life run counter to every impulse we have, every story we've been told, everything we tell ourselves. And so that's why we need each other. That's why we need this time in this space together. That's why we come here week in and week out to be immersed in this story of life and love. Because it's here, it's together that we steep ourselves in the promises and the presence of the crucified and risen Jesus, who is with us and for us this day and always. Amen.